up, guys? Coming to you still with 4 minutes left in the Warriors-Suns game. I think we're safe to say the Warriors are going to handle this one. They are currently up by, I can't even do this math, 35. Exactly what the Warriors needed. Heading into a game tomorrow, flying back home against the Spurs, who, you know, they're competing, they're playing hard. And they're also playing tonight. I think they're losing. I'm checking scoreboard right now. They're down by 11 to the Clippers. So we hope that, hey, Spurs, make that game close. Make the Clippers work for it. Maybe even beat the Clippers. But more importantly, you know, tire your own legs out. And then hop on a flight to the Bay Area where we'll meet you there. Everything you could ask for if you're the Warriors. Curry only played, what, 26 minutes. Draymond, Jimmy only 20 apiece. Pajemski 22. Another monster game for Pajemski. 22 points in these 22 minutes. 4 of 6 from three. And he remains scorching hot. Everything's falling for him. And I you know, compared to the beginning of the season, it's like, wow, this guy can't make a shot. And now it seems like everything's going in. I think the answer and his true shooting lies somewhere in between. But I do think he is, I guess, closer in reality to what he is now than what he was at the beginning of the season. And just continue this confidence. You know, he's an ascending player. He's a confident player. And yeah, maybe this is, you know, the Manu Ginobili comparisons that you hope his ceiling could be in the future. And maybe he's kind of starting to rise, and this is going to be who he starts to become, and maybe a little bit more down to earth. But if he's playing like this, we talked about it last time, it's what the Warriors need, because I don't know yet what we're going to really get out of Jimmy Butler as a scorer in the playoffs. I know that we're going to get more than we're getting right now in terms of his aggressiveness. He will take more shots. I think he's only averaging like 11 shots per game. In the playoffs, that has to be up closer to 14, 15 shots per game, especially if Steph's having an off game or just getting the crazy double coverage face guard that he typically will. So we'll see, but it just is such a pressure release valve if you have Brandon Pajemski, who can handle, he can create, he can now shoot, he can now finish, he now has a mid-range. Again, we talked about Pajemski a lot last game, but it's just nice to see him string another good game together, and it just seems like he's getting better and better with each game. So big win for tonight is just continuing his streak, and then also getting Steph Curry back on the right side of things. I think Steph, 25 points, didn't shoot great, still 3 of 9 from 3, but he got the shots up that he didn't get up last game. I think it was just nice to see the difference in how he was guarded. You just see breakdown after breakdown. Bradley Beal just getting lost every time on Curry compared to the other night against the Rockets, where Amen Thompson, who, God, he could win a Defensive Player of the Year at some point if Wembanyama didn't exist, if maybe Chet Holmgren didn't exist. But, man, very, very good perimeter defender. And Steph really struggled against the length, the speed, something that he hasn't really had to face in this tear he's been on. If you think about like the Lakers, you think about the Grizzlies, think about the Nuggets, you know, not really that long, young, super rangy, athletic defender on him that can essentially not have to top lock him, not have to command a double team, but someone who can actually kind of stay with him. So Steph will figure it out, you know, and, you know, maybe, you know, just, we've always said Steph, it doesn't really matter how you guard him. If he's on, he's going to be on. And, you know, he hasn't had problems with the Rockets in the past either. So I think we'll be fine there, but just good to see him get back on the right side of things. The only cause for concern here, and it doesn't really matter tonight, but it's just kind of, yeah, I think you already know what I'm going to say. It's Jonathan Kuminga, and I've been pretty light on him, but man, it doesn't look good. It does not look good. Against a team without much shot blocking in the Suns, where Kuminga usually can get downhill, and these are the games he does well, which is kind of a sloppy game, a lot of transition, a lot of turnovers, not a good defense. I figured, you know, GP2 out tonight, Kuminga will get a little extra run, and he played pretty well defensively in that role, but man, offensively, it's a mess right now, guys. It's the shots not falling. He's not really getting to the hoop, especially in the half court. Hasn't really gotten out in transition. You know, it's still there, but you kind of wonder, you know, are there any lingering issues with that ankle? I'm sure he's not quite 100%, but we've seen him be explosive since he's returned. I know he kind of tweaked it the other night. I don't think that's what's holding him back, but it does kind of deprive him of his best weapon and just his athleticism. But, you know, it's just, he's, it seems like he's just a little lost out there right now. He's kind of processing a little slow. It just looks pretty disjointed. I spent a little extra time kind of observing him just on and off the ball tonight, and he's just kind of not in the right place a lot of the time. He's just kind of roaming. He's just not very intentional with his movements. You know, it's like even with like GP2, you can see his movements are more intentional when he cuts. You know, he knows where he's going. He knows how to play off his stuff. It seems like at times where Kuminga is just kind of like trying to get out of steps way, just trying to not be in the way. And then it's just, you know, he's just not, it's not fluid. It's not the Warriors system. It's not the read and react system. And we've seen Kuminga get to that point where he's flowing and the game slows down and he's making good decisions. You know, we know he has it in him. We know it's going to be inconsistent, but right now it's not the 2 out of 3 games are good, or 3 out of 4 games are good, or whatever streak he had last year. We was in whatever it was. He had the 20 points in 8 straight games, or whatever it was around February last year. Right now, it's like, hey, like 1 out of every 3 games have been decent. And I know he's still returning to form, and we're still going to be patient. But I do worry, particularly with the guy that makes the decisions on whether Kuminga plays or not, Steve Kerr. We already know Kerr has a short leash for Kuminga. And Kuminga's not doing himself any favor heading into the playoffs right now, where I could tell you right now, Steve Kerr does not trust Kuminga to log 30 plus minutes in a game unless he really has it going. He does not trust Kuminga to close a game. He did a couple games ago against the Grizzlies or the Lakers. He did close because he was having a good game. So, you know, you see Steve trying to give him the leash and get him some high leverage moments and minutes. But right now, I mean, I would agree with Steve, and you know, I think most of us too. It's like I don't think you can put Kuminga in that closing lineup in high leverage moments, especially in like a Jimmy Butler or Draymond Green front court. It hasn't been working. So why would you do that right now in the playoffs? But you know, I think it's going to be where Kuminga is just kind of he's going to get, you know, 18 to 22 minutes. You know, he'll come in the mid first quarter, he'll come in the mid third quarter. And he's going to end up just kind of being that change of, not change of pace, but you know, that ace in the hole where it's like, hey guys, like, you know, if the Warriors are behind in a series or they're just not getting anything going, you know, you're just gonna hope to catch lightning in a bottle with Kuminga and he has a breakout game and maybe wins you a game, just with a crazy scoring outburst or something like that. He has one of his good games. But there are going to be, like we're saying, you know, 50% of the games where he's not making an impact. And he's going to, I don't know that he'll get DNPs like he did in the playoffs in 2022, but there might be games he's playing less than 15 minutes because if it looks like it did tonight and a couple other nights ago, it's not going to be much of a leash in the playoffs. So that's all I'm going to say about that. We're going to hope that he can turn it around. I thought this would be a very good game for him, especially getting a little garbage time. Against a bad team. But moving on, I want to talk about, you know, let's go back to the Jimmy Butler trade because it relates to the Suns. And I guess all I'll say is I'm sure Jimmy Butler is happy that he didn't get traded to the Suns, just after this effort tonight. And I know they don't have Kevin Durant, but man, the Suns looked horrible. They looked like they didn't want to be there. It looked like the home crowd, and the Suns are still want to, they have a chance to sneak into the play-in still. So it's an important game. But you know, there were times where the Suns, you know, made a shot like at the end of the shot clock, and it was just like not, there was like not even any applause. It seemed at that point it was still a close game, but it seemed like were already down 30 points. And it just seemed like nobody was really energized or just kind of passionate or yeah, just the team seems to have lost its way and they're kind of giving up on the season. Jimmy Butler would not be going for that. And maybe they wouldn't have gotten to that point, but we'll say thank you again, Bradley Beal, for not waiving your trade clause and for it all working out the way it did. But I want to take another look at it as, I don't know if this is a popular take, but I mean, what if the Durant trade had gone through rather than Jimmy Butler to the Warriors? You know, where would we be sitting right now? I know things have gone great with Jimmy Butler. The Warriors have been awesome. It's been a great fit. Everyone hypes Jimmy's, you know, leadership, all the things, the playmaking, he makes life easier on Steph, so on and so forth. But then it's like, okay, well then, what about Kevin Durant? Like, it's hard to say at this point with Jimmy averaging, what is this, 15, 16 points a game. And man, I mean, I'm looking at the stats again. I know it was short minutes, but you know, he two field goals on four attempts. You know, it seems like if you take away his free throws, which are a big part of his game, like he's not making that many not many field goals from the field, like in live play. It's just you're not getting spacing from him. And I'm just nitpicking. I love what Jimmy's done. He's more of a connector and he's a better defender than Kevin Durant. But Durant was fine with the Warriors as a defender. I just wonder, would this team be even better, you know, getting 28 points in his sleep, Kevin Durant? You know, for all Jimmy Butler does, you know, that's what, 12 more points that you're getting just from Durant as a scorer. And it's not like he's a slouch in terms of playmaking or rebounding either. So I just wonder. Yeah, it's. I think we've been very happy with Jimmy Butler. I'll say it again. You know, I'm not regretting the trade by any means. But I guess my point is, you know, I just need to see a Jimmy Butler just, hey, like, take over the game. You know, go get easy buckets. Just find a mid range where, hey, we know you can just go get your mid range at any point. And you know, if you're just kind of waiting to the playoffs, and that's when you're gonna try to find it. Like, I don't know if you can just turn it on that easy, even though you are playoff Jimmy. Even Anthony Slater said, you know, this might be what we get out of Jimmy Butler. You know, he doesn't really have the lift in the legs that I remember. You know, I haven't watched a ton of Jimmy throughout his career. But you know, it just, he's explosive, but he's the jumpers. I mean, it's flat. It seems like he's kind of having trouble just kind of, you know, rising and shooting. And you know, he's a physical player, but we'll see when push comes to shove. And hey, like Jimmy, like it's clutch time. Steph's getting face guarded and we need a bucket, and you have the ball 10 feet and in. Like, can you just isolate and score at will? And that's what we need. And that's something that we know Kevin Durant would deliver. So it's just an interesting thought experiment. You know, gun to my head at this very point, I would still rather have Kevin Durant because we already know how he's just a better all-time player. And, you know, we know he's a fit. Jimmy Butler might be a better fit, and especially from a culture standpoint. And that's important. You know, despite Draymond's little outburst the last game, you know, Jimmy's been good for Draymond. Jimmy's been great for Steph. You know, Jimmy's been great for Pajemski, and it's kind of raising people's ceilings. And that's invaluable as well. I don't know that Durant necessarily does that, but on the floor, you know, we've seen what the Warriors were with Durant. Hard to say if they had gotten him, and also, you know, they would have had to given up Kuminga and Wiggins and that too. So but yeah, that's all I really have for you guys. Good job, Warriors, taking care of business, and should have relatively fresh legs heading home. Gonna sleep in our own beds tonight, and then hopefully we can disrupt the Spurs. And oh, also, big loss by the Minnesota Timberwolves at Milwaukee tonight. I thought Minnesota was up kind of big in the first half. I kind of stopped keeping tabs on it. I just looked and they lost. So that's actually huge. And let's just talk about the standings really quick. Is that puts Minnesota a full game, and with a tiebreaker, essentially a game and a half behind the Warriors, which means if the Warriors only lose one more game, you know, call it against the Clippers, so they take care of business against tomorrow against the Spurs, take care of business against Portland, they will finish ahead of Minnesota. You basically have to lose two games at this point for Minnesota to catch us. Memphis, who is obviously tied with us, they play Minnesota. I don't know if it's tomorrow or the day after. There's a lot of back-to-backs going on this week. But if maybe now we're rooting for Minnesota to beat Memphis, because you know, if Minnesota could beat Memphis, we have the tiebreaker over Memphis. Same situation would apply. We would have a game and a half lead over them. Memphis also, after that, I believe still has to play at Denver. So somebody's going to lose that game as well. So, you know, there is a way where they all just lose one game, and the Warriors, you know, there's a chance the Warriors could still fall, even just losing to the Clippers and falling into the play-in. But if things go according to like the odds, there's a chance the Warriors have enough cushion to lose to the Clippers, go 3-1, and still be fine and in control of their own destiny to make the playoffs without dropping to the seventh seed. So big loss by Minnesota, and now we're rooting for them to be the Grizzlies. But fun time of year to do a little scoreboard watching, and we'll see. Also on that note, Denver just fired their entire everybody, so we'll see what that does to them, and hopefully that leaves them in a little bit of disarray as well, and the Warriors can, you know, maybe jump them, get the four seed, get some home court advantage over who they would play at the five. All right, let's leave it there. I will be back after we take care of the Spurs tomorrow. And yeah, there's still a full quarter left, so let's check out this Clipper game. Hopefully they can stumble and choke down the stretch. Also, Jalen Wells on the Grizzlies broke his hand. I'll just leave that here. Okay, until next time, you guys, hit like, hit subscribe. As always, I'm Chris Chin. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.